The first place where Lehi's party landed was called by them the Land of First Inheritance. There's no mention of cold or ice or snow, so it looks as if they're in the tropics or semi-tropics anyway.
A lot of people are under the impression that there weren't other people here except Lehi and his family, and that's not true. There were already existing cultures here in Mesoamerica.
We tend to have this conception that when Lehi and his family got here, that it was this open, empty land. But when we read the text of the Book of Mormon itself, it becomes apparent that there were other people here, and Lehi and his party discovered that fairly quickly.
After their arduous journey across the bleak Arabian desert and the soul-searching ocean crossing to the New World, Lehi's faithful son Nephi led the righteous members of the family in establishing a covenant people in what a growing scholarly consensus believes is the most likely location, Mesoamerica, the region of southern Mexico and Guatemala. Lehi's family quickly discovered, like the ancient Israelites entering Canaan, the thriving cultures were already there, cultures that had very different religious beliefs. Their challenge, not unlike our own, was that of keeping their covenants with God while living in the midst of a world continually tempting them to do otherwise.
In 600 BC, we have people living in the region.
They encountered other peoples and began to integrate to one degree or another over time with these different groups.
By the 6th century BC in Mesoamerica, we already had full and well-established cultural development.
They found a complex civilization that was already on a trajectory towards what would later flourish as the Maya civilization and other later cultures.
And in 1830, Joseph Smith could not have known about these cultures from contemporary sources.
The last time I counted, there were something like 65 different guesses or hypotheses as to where Lehi's party landed on the west coast of America. And that's all right to have guessed, but that does not make good scholarly believable progress. We've learned that we must be exhaustive. That is, look at all the references, take in every bit of information.
See if there is a place where both the cultural patterns and the geographical patterns fit.
So far, based on what we have found, Mesoamerica is the leading candidate for Book of Mormon lands.
The vast majority of the Book of Mormon took place in the New World, and all the evidence suggests that it took place in Mesoamerica. There are several times in the Book of Mormon when they're cautioned against worshiping graven images. We find that in Mosiah 12 and 13. It's also in Alma. And when we look at that through the lens of Mesoamerican religions, it seems to make a lot more sense.
In Alma chapter 5, there's this magnificent discourse that talks about spiritual rebirth. Have you received the image of Jesus Christ in your countenance?
We have in Mesoamerica a glyphic phrase that basically talks about receiving the image of a certain god in your countenance, and it ties in with a deity impersonation ritual that was typically done by kings or other high elites, where they would wear this graven mask and literally transform into a certain god. And I think Alma was speaking against that when he asked, have you received his image in your countenances, meaning the image of Christ. And rather than telling his people to impersonate certain other gods, that they needed to be Christ-like.
When Benjamin begins his speech, one of the things that he tells the people very specifically is he says, I am a man. That's a rather strange thing.
I think King Benjamin was actually responding to this concept of divine kingship, and he wanted to let his people know that he wasn't a divine king.
Maya kings were considered to be divine. So one of the things that Benjamin wants to make sure that his people understand is that they know that he is a man.
He's reinforcing his humanity to his people because he doesn't want them to buy into this divine king concept that is surrounding them in the Mesoamerican area.
This happens again when Ammon is asked by Lamoni, are you more than a man? And one of the conversations, one of the critical issues that they have is, are you more than a man? Mesoamerican deities have a class of deities, which are gods who have come to the earth, and very clearly they're thinking that this is what this man is.
And then after some time, he appears. And he appears to this people now who are prepared in a way that we can only imagine. They are the ones who have chosen Christ, who have survived these cataclysmic events because of their own righteousness.
From the time that Lehi and his family leave Jerusalem, the message is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. And it seems to me that all of the events prior to 3rd Nephi are leading up to the appearance of the Savior in the New World. That's the culmination of the message of the Book of Mormon.
The Savior heals these people in three ways. The first healing has to do with bridging the chasm which had grown up over centuries of one side of the family and the other, which had essentially resulted in two nations which remained at conflict with one another.
The Savior talks to the people about unity, the unity that exists among the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one.
He heals people of their feeling of being displaced. The Savior makes very clear that he had given them this land as their inheritance.
They are of one heart, of one mind. They become, as the Father and the Son, unified among themselves.
The third healing that takes place is the healing of their sins. The Savior comes to deliver them from their worst selves.
They know him. They worship him. And he comes to them so different than what it was in Jerusalem. So different.
You feel almost like you're there when Christ is ministering to the people.
In the very beginning, when he comes and invites everyone, one by one, to come to him and feel the prints in his hands and his feet, the children are part of that.
One of the important ingredients in this story has to do with Jesus' interaction with children.
And then later, when he asks to have the children brought to him one by one, and he blesses them, and then they're encircled by angels, and then he turns to the adults and says, "Behold, behold your children."
It's nurturance to us. We feel nurtured. We feel his love.
Then he turns to the law of Moses. I have not come to destroy the law, nor the prophets who taught the law. I've come to fulfill.
He'd fulfilled the law of Moses. He'd become what he had been born to become.